Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. What a good day the Lord's made. It's been a great day at the Lord's house. And this, I want to take just a few moments of your time and prepare us for the week. Okay? That's what getting into the Word of God's about, right? Changing us, preparing us to serve Him. So, how many of you are ready to change? It's going over like a lead balloon, isn't it? Well, that's what the message, if I could entitle the message, I would entitle it, Change. Let's stand as we read from God's Word. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. We continue, and the idea is Jesus had told His disciples over in chapter 1, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? And this is, we're learning to be fishers of men along the way. Right? Verse 18. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to Him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, will you lead us, please? You may be seated. In the first three verses that we read, the big question was, why are your disciples not fasting? Everybody else was fasting. John's disciples were fasting. The Pharisees' disciples were fasting. But Jesus' disciples were not fasting. And so they, of course, like any good religious people, come to Jesus. And what do we want everybody to do more than anything else? Get in line. Somebody said, be like us. I heard that. Isn't that the way we want? I mean, we want new converts, right? We want people to be saved, right? And we want them to come into Victory Baptist Church and be exactly like the rest of us. Deep down, that's what we want, isn't it? I mean, you know, let's not rock the boat. Just get in that religious line. And that was the point. That's why the Pharisees were asking Jesus, why aren't you doing like the rest of us? And Jesus, I love His response in that He says, well, you know, there's a rule. And He begins to expound on this rule by using wineskins and old cloth. They knew that Jesus was special. They even appreciated His teaching. And they may have been even willing to go as far as to make some of His ideas part of their own religious traditions. Because, I mean, let's face it, Jesus, you know, as He goes through His ministry, He can gain people just like that. His popularity is going to grow and it's going to be good. And it would be good for the Pharisee establishment. And they were looking that maybe they could make some compromise and kind of install Jesus into their Phariseeistic Judaism and keep everything kind of like it is. And Jesus looks at him and smiles. And you know what Jesus says? He says, guys, this won't work. This absolutely will not work. It was, and he used it. He used the examples of me becoming like y'all will be like taking patches of new garments that are unwashed and using those patches to patch an old garment. And then, when you wash that garment, what's going to happen? Well, the new patches are going to shrink and going to tear the old garment, make it worse than it was to begin with. Or, this is the best one. It would be like putting new unfermented wine into old brittle wineskins. And as soon as that new unfermented wine began to ferment and the gases formed in those old wineskins, what would happen? It would bust. And they'd lose the wine and the skins. You see, Jesus knew he couldn't partner with the Pharisees and with other religions of that day, because Jesus was ushering in a new covenant. Jesus was not coming to be a part of the Mosaic covenant. He was coming to fulfill that covenant and preach a message of grace and mercy and love. And the Pharisees had absolutely no idea what that was. So Jesus once again is saying, hey, it won't work. As I got to thinking about that, I got to thinking about the way that we are, humanly speaking. I mean, let's face it. Change is a four-letter word, right? Not really, but we look at it as that. One of the most difficult things that we have is realizing, hey, we have never done it this way. I mean, is it not? And you know what I find? The older I get, the more I like it the way it is. Are y'all like that? When I was a kid, I was all about new and change and let's do it differently. But the older I become, my motto now is don't rock the boat. You know? But I've also discovered that there has to be change in ministry because people change. And I'll give you an example. How does this apply to our church, for example? God is blessing. Do y'all realize how much God is blessing Victory Baptist Church? Glory to God. Every week we're having this new guest. And most weeks we're having additions to the church. And a large number of the weeks we're baptizing somebody or seeing somebody saved. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, it don't get any better than that. That's exciting for me. Victory is growing. Praise the Lord. Three times in the last 2 months, we've broken Sunday morning Bible study records. I love it as we watch it climb. You know, we went to the lower 300s. You know what we were this morning? 323. Sunday morning Bible study. You say, oh, Brother Doug, that's just, it was Easter. It still counts. Brother Jimmy told me after church that the security team tried to do a little count after church or during church, that somewhere in the neighborhood of 524 were present in worship service this morning. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Okay? God is blessing Victory. And I think it's a real good time to share this with you tonight because, you know, as God blesses, guess what's going to have to happen? Victory is not going to be able to conduct business like we conducted business 3 years ago. The more the church grows, the more opportunity there's going to be for the church to adjust and to change and to adapt to that growth. Amen? Amen. I've come to a conclusion. I'm very dogmatic on the Word of God. This is the Word of God. There is no compromise. If God says it, I believe it. Do you agree with me? But that's it. Just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean anything anymore as a church. See, we've got to be willing to be open to that. Otherwise, you know, when we have that attitude, yes, we like the new growth, but we're not going to change and adjust. We'll be like that new piece of material sewed on to an old cloth, or new wine placed in an old brittle wineskin. Something's going to break. I'm going to share with you, just so you give you a heads up, 2 weeks we have business meetings. Don't you love business meetings? I'll put it this way. I love Victory business meetings more than any church I've ever been.
Amen.
Okay? It's always good to take care of the Lord's business and a good spirit and a heart of love. But in the business meeting 2 weeks, and I shared this with you a couple months ago, I'm going to be presenting an organizational chart plan. And this is going to expand the duties of the Victory staff more than they've ever been expanded. And listen, you may look at it and say, but Brother Doug, we've never done it this way. I ask you to do this. Open your mind. We have never been where we are right now as a church. Okay? We've got to be willing to open our mind to new things. And so, make that a matter of prayer. Don't close your mind. And I'll be honest, this is in the next few years, what I see at Victory, oh my goodness, we're going to have many opportunity to change and to adjust to the growth that God is bringing toward Victory. Are you ready to do that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. God, make us so that we can be able to hold the new wine that you bring our way. And it's not just on a church level. Okay? Remember, I said, this is how to be fishers of men. You know, if we're going to be fishers of men as a church, we're going to have to know how to grow and how to organize and have an administration. But if we're going to be fishers of men, it comes down to individuals also. That's you and I. Okay? As we look here, again, you got to consider that tough word, change. Is what you're doing working in bringing others to Christ? Okay, answer that in your own mind, okay? If it's working, there's going to be fruit. You're going to see a result. All right? What are you doing to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Think about that one for a minute. What are you doing so that others come to know Christ? You know what our favorite answer is to that? Most people say, well, Brother Doug, I try to live so that others can see Jesus living in me. Well, good. That's really good. But that's also really cheap and easy. Okay? The Pharisees did that. The Pharisees lived their religion better than anybody else. They'd stand on the street corners and say and say their prayers out loud so people could look at them and say, wow, look at them, they're religious. They would sound the trumpets when they'd give an offering so people could look at them and say, wow, they must be really close to God. Look what they're giving. They'd fast and dirty their faces and ruffle their appearance so that people could tell those folks are fasting. They must be religious. You see, there's got to be more than just what people see. Amen. They've got to hear from you. Amen. See, here's where the change comes in. Here's the change part. What are you doing to intentionally bring people to Jesus Christ? Now, many people honestly would have to say, well, Brother Doug, I'm not really doing anything. Now, if you're not doing anything to bring somebody to Christ, then what you're doing is not working. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. If we're not intentionally, actively working to bring someone to Christ, then what we're doing is not working. So, we need to, what's the word? Change. Absolutely. It's not that hard. Everyone wants to see people saved, but very few are willing to actually change their lifestyle to make it happen. We have got to be willing to approach people. I'm talking about intentionally approach people. Here's the change. Here's the new material. Here's the new wineskin. You've got to be willing to intentionally approach people. And ask such questions as, where do you go to church? How many of you ask that question on a regular basis? No? Do you? Amen. How many of you don't? Don't raise your hand. How about changing and start asking that question? Well, Brother Doug, I don't want to upset them. They'll be okay. They'll get over it if they take offense to it, you know? If they say, well, that's none of your business. Well, you just, excuse me, I'm sorry for bothering you. And go find somebody else to ask where they go to church. Amen? Absolutely. How often do you tell people about Jesus? How often do you brag on Jesus? You know what's amazing? It's amazing that I can talk to you for 2 hours and I can talk about the weather. I can talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks. I can talk about the basketball tournaments. But you know what? Very seldom do I include the most important thing in my life, which is Jesus Christ, which should be at the forefront of my lips. Oh, Brother Doug, I get nervous. Well, start small. Start small. Brother Ken has this thing called a track ministry. And I've mentioned that 2 or 3 times. But do you know how easy it is to give somebody a gospel track? And you don't have to say a word. But you have witnessed to them. You see, we talk about things like the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we talk about being good Baptists and good church-going people. But you know what we're here for? We're here to change the lives of others. And for us to change the lives of others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must first change our lives by presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. Here's my challenge. What are you going to do with it next week? Okay? How many of you are saved? Say amen. Amen. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it next week? If God gives you next week, what are you going to do that intentionally presents the gospel of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do that intentionally invites people to come and enjoy worship service with you? What are you going to do to be an intentional Christian? You see, this is a completely different... You want to know why churches are dying? And churches are dying. Okay? You look around, you don't have to look very far to see them. They're dropping like flies. And you don't know why? Because they've got good religious people in them that come on Sunday and they sit in the pew and they go home and they don't think about it anymore until next Sunday when it's time to go back. You say, Brother Doug, this is a Sunday night crowd. Why are you getting on us? Because I love you. And because, can you imagine? If we got the Sunday night crowd on fire of sharing the gospel, it'll spread to the Sunday morning crowd. Okay, it will. If we, and don't misunderstand me, I know tonight I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I get it. Y'all are the faithful ones. Y'all are the ones that are here, and I praise God for you. But it's time. It's time for us as individual children of God, If we're not active, it's time for us to make a change. Yeah? If we're not actively seeking the salvation of others, it's time for a change. You know, if we're satisfied with the religious system and satisfied with coming to church on Sunday, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore till next Sunday, we're like those Pharisees that said, okay, here's the invitation. Why don't you just come be like us? We don't want them to be like us. We want them to be like Jesus. We want them to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We want them to understand what mercy and grace is. Here's another challenge. Find the meanest, lowest person you can think of this week and tell them about Jesus Christ. How many of you know somebody that, let's just face it, they're not any good? Huh? I mean, honestly. Do you believe that Jesus can transform them? Amen. Then tell them about Jesus. The challenge. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be, you know, that religious person that is nothing more than going through emotion. Take it with you. Monday through Sunday. God has placed you here. How many of you have a job? Yeah. Well, yeah. I have a job too. God has placed us where we are for a reason. You're not there by accident. People need to hear about Jesus where you work. How many of you have friends that don't go to church? Yeah. God has given you those friends for a reason. They need to hear about Jesus. How many of us, you know, how many of us have hobbies? I got those. I got two or three of those. Those hobbies put you in places that you normally would not be in. Point is this, God's open doors is all around us. All around us. Now, today I mentioned, or tonight I mentioned that there were 520 something, 24 I think, in worship attendance this morning. Isn't that good? Amen. Wouldn't you like to see it next Sunday? Huh? See, next Sunday we couldn't say, well, that's Easter. I believe with all my heart that we can feel these facilities every Sunday if you and I become Great Commission Christians. Amen. Okay? Victory's growing. The reason victory's growing is because the gospel is here. Let's make sure it does not stay inside these walls. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you may, you know, you've been thinking about it, but you've been putting it off and thinking about, well, when I straighten up and when I get a few things straightened out, I want to tell you something, you'll never get there. Okay? The only way you're going to get there is to let Jesus Christ straighten you out. Straighten you up. Okay? If you're lost, don't walk out of here without Jesus Christ. All right? But let me tell you the love He has for you. As mean and as ornery as you are, Jesus Christ still loves you anyway. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He died a brutal, horrible death to pay for your sin. And you know why He did it? You say, Brother Doug, I didn't ask Him to. It doesn't matter. He did it because He loves you. Now listen, if you understand love, you'll understand that. I love my kids. I'd do anything in this world for my children. All right? They're not kids anymore. They're grown. I want to tell you something. I'd swim the deepest sea and climb the highest mountain for my grandchildren. Oh, I love them. My love pales in comparison for the love that Jesus Christ has for you. And he displayed that love upon the cross of Calvary. Are you saved? Not think so, not hope so, but I'm talking about know so. I know that I've given my life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know that, we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you, will you come forward? Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you call upon Jesus and make Him the Lord of your life? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the realization that there are times in life, personally, as individuals, we must change. We get comfortable. We get in a rut. And we get just happy where we are. Lord, I pray that You will light our fire. That Lord, we'll not be content where we are. But that, Lord, we'll be Great Commission Christians, looking for an opportunity to share the glory of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with every week. And Lord, I pray for those here tonight who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray, Lord, that You'd open their eyes to Your great love, and that You would instill in them their need to be saved, and that tonight they would call upon You and make You the Lord of their life. Lord, I pray Your will be done in all our lives, in this invitation, as we leave this place, and as we live next week. Glorify Your name, Lord, through the lives that we live. In Jesus' name I pray.